we need to have God's leading and his guidance on the things that we say.
Help us, Lord.
Even though we live in a free country, and a lot of times people feel like because of that, they can say what they want to say. But if we fear God, we want him to direct our words.
That's right.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes. We want to start out with Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter. We're going to read 1-7. This actually will be our foundation. And I would appreciate if someone would read that.
Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God.
Notice the last four words, but fear thou God.
Yes.
When we read these verses, we realize that there are many times people who can say words that will lead to their destruction. And these words can also lead to the destruction of others.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can see a situation and you feel like you can say something to help it. But if we don't trust God, the words we say can be very damaging to the situation. These relationships have been no doubt broken because of rash words.
Yes.
And not only just husband and wife, but sometimes it's siblings.
Yes.
They won't speak to each other or won't have anything to do with each other. Words that have been spoken, they have crushed and have destroyed a relationship. You know, sometimes I remember Becky, my daughter Becky, she has this thought of forgiving. She didn't want to hold anybody. She told me, she said, I don't want to leave here holding nobody.
Yeah.
Even some person that hurt her, she wasn't willing to hold them.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, someone was trying to get her to take sides in the situation. She said, I don't burn bridges. Do you know sometimes you can burn bridges?
Yes.
By something you said.
Right.
Taking aside or
saying.
But we don't want to burn bridges.
So
opportunities that maybe we have to reach out to someone can be lost by some of the words we say.
Right.
So we have to be so careful. The scripture says, be not rash with them now. And think before you speak.
Right?
Yes. And then it says, let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. We have to be careful and realize that God is listening.
Yeah.
He hears everything we say. Just sometimes you might whisper words to someone. You think nobody hears, God hears it.
Yes, he does.
So we need to be careful. And then it says, down in the scripture, it says, don't, when thou vows a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. You know, when I was younger, I used to feel like, you know, if I didn't do something, maybe I'd say, okay, I'm going to fast 3 days. I think I told you all this. And I'd go and I'd fast 2.5 days and I'd feel real bad. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on and on. And finally, Sister Kathy told me, the Lord didn't put that on you. You put that on me.
Right, yeah.
And that's how I was able to get out from under that. But sometimes you can say, well, you know, it's a bad situation. I'm going to fast all this week. And God may not have it for you to fast the whole week. So we have to be careful of the promises we make.
Yes.
Another thing you might say, well, you know what? I know that I love peach cobbler, right? And so you just get to eating it and you just enjoy it so much and you begin to feel like, you know what? I need to stop eating this. Well, I won't eat any more peach cobbler. That's the kind of brass speaking sometimes we have before God. Now, he didn't require you maybe not to eat anymore. Just show some self-restraint right now. So these are the kind of things that a lot of some people will say, well, I will not eat any more sweets at all. People get rash with their mouth, thinking of, you know, trying to solve a problem. But God doesn't want us to make these foolish vows before him. We need to think serious. When we get ready to make a vow before the Lord, let's think serious about that vow. Don't just say it.
Amen.
And then it says, but when you make a vow to the Lord, you're going to be responsible to pay that vow. If you make a vow to the Lord and you don't pay that vow, then God is going to hold you accountable for it. Now, what happens in the scripture, if there's a young person, say, Samaya makes a vow, and she doesn't know any better, she's under her dad, mom, the adults, and God, we can say, that is not a vow you should be making. And God can forgive that situation. It's in the scripture. I don't have it right handy, but it's in the scripture where the father can actually override a foolish vow that someone made. But we have to be careful with our vows. Then what about vows we make to people? People sometimes just say, okay, I'm coming to your house tomorrow, and they can't do it. Then you need to make it good. You either do it, or if you can't do it, you can call the person up and tell them, I can't do it. Maybe they put something aside thinking you're coming, and then you don't show up.
Right.
So we need to be careful of the words we say.
Yeah.
Then the multitude of words. There's a lot in this scripture. You could take this one scripture and sit and meditate on it. It's a lot about the tongue. The multitude of words. Sometimes people just go on and on and on, talking just unnecessary. But in the scripture says, therefore let your words be few. And it's down in the scripture, it also says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel, it is an error. Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thy God. Let's be careful with our words. You might not feel like you need this message today, but I tell you, we need to hold on to it, because there will come a time when you will need it.
Right.
Let's go now to to Proverbs 15 and read verses 1 to 2.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Yes. Have you ever been in a situation when somebody's real stirred up and they're talking and you know they stir you up and you talk more and they talk more and you're not solving the problem?
No.
It's better to have a soft answer.
Yeah.
A soft answer. When a person is angry, no words or a soft word would be better than trying to enter into their anger and trying to fix it.
Right.
We need to be careful. Let's go to Proverbs 21 and 11. So you young people, remember this. A soft answer turns away wrath. When you're around somebody that's angry, if you use angry words, it's just going to make it worse.
That's right.
But talk soft. And the Lord can calm the situation.
When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge.
Is that Proverbs 25 and 11?
I'm sorry. I thought it was 25 and 11.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver.
Thank you.
That's a few words, but I want you all to think of that, what it's saying.
Right.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver.
Yes.
Look, gold and silver are precious. What do you want to call it? They're precious. And so, if you will learn to speak words that in the right manner, at the right time,
yes,
words of wisdom, it is going to be a beautiful picture.
Amen.
Something that someone would be glad to look on. You know, I love beautiful pictures.
Yes.
And you want to go back and look on it over and over again. And if we carry ourselves just like that, the words we say are ordered by the Lord.
Yes.
So it's just like a beautiful picture that someone wants to go back and look at over and over again. God wants that. That's how we can be an example. Those of you that say, we can be an example to the world through the words that we speak.
Yes.
You can say, I never heard that person speak an angry word.
Amen.
That is so soothing.
Yeah.
You want to be around that kind of person. Or I never saw them say anything out of order.
Yeah.
God wants us to be examples and lights to this dark world. We can be that. Today we live in a dark time. But do you know God got some people to brighten up the corner where we live?
That's right. Praise God.
Yes. I want us to look at a case in the Bible, Judges 11, 29 and 36 to 36. A brass speaking and the consequences of it. Somebody get that, please.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah and had cast over Gilead and Manasseh and cast over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he cast over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from we're going to work with that one, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyard, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah, unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles, and with dances. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that troubled me, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back." And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemy, even of the children of Ammon."
You see what happened here? He vowed a vow unto the Lord that if you're going to, if you deliver me, deliver these people, he was going to war, then whatever comes out of my house, I will give it for a burnt offering. Whatever comes out to meet me. Now, what kind of vow was that for him to make? Think about it. Whatever comes out of my house to meet me. It wouldn't be an animal coming out to meet him. That's a foolish vow.
Yeah.
Rash vow. He could have just said, "Lord, if you will deliver these people, deliver me. I will live for you the balance of my days."
Yes.
But I will offer as a burnt offering. That's why we have to be careful. We don't just say anything before the Lord.
Yes.
Make any kind of vow before the Lord. You know, some young people, they might want to have a companion, and it looks like it's not working,
right?
They might say, "Well, Lord, I'm not going to get married. I'm just going to live single." Mm. That's a rash vow.
Yeah.
You don't make those vows. God is the one to choose whether you get married or not get married. But to make rash vows is not a wise thing. And so what he had to do, he had to sacrifice his one and only daughter.
Right.
It is a sad story in the Bible, but it lets us know that we cannot, the scripture is true. Do not make a rash vow before the Lord. But if you make it, you have to pay that vow. And he knew he had to pay it, and he knew he couldn't go back from it. No son, no daughter, the only child. What a bad state. It helps us to realize how important our words are.
That's true.
God values our words. Sometimes we act like they're mine, I can say it like I said, but God values our words.
Yes.
Let's go on. Let's go to James 3, and let's read verses 1 through 13.
"My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great,
yes,
and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm.
Yes.
Whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things.
Yes.
Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
Yes.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Yes.
Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries?
No.
Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom.
A lot has been said and read in these scriptures.
Yes.
When we look at the tongue and how important it is to bridle the tongue,
yes,
but it's going to take God to help us to bridle this tongue.
Yes.
Sometimes we have great control. Some people have great control over their tongue, but then there comes a time when a situation gets real close to you.
Yes.
When it's not close to you, you can do pretty good.
Right.
But when that situation is close to you, then it's when you need God Almighty to rule this tongue.
Yes.
Because the tongue, you said, is an unruly member, full of deadly poison. A few words.
Yes.
A few wrong words can be just like poison. And it could hurt people. And sometimes you went on about your business.
Right.
You said the words you went on about your business, but it left an imprint on that person's heart and mind. And over the devil replayed what you said to them. So we have to be so careful how we use this tongue.
Yes.
And it says, and it can kill.
Yes.
It can destroy. So many people are destroyed today by some words.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just a few words. Just a few words, but they are the words that hurt deeply. I'm willing to believe there are children that hurt. Parents that feel like this is my child and I can say to them whatever I want to say. They can call them stupid, ignorant. You are never going to be nothing. All these words can hurt and follow those children through life. And even though they start to try to do well, that plays back in their mind. I'm stupid. I can't do anything. I will never be anything. And they have to fight against it. It's better not to say those words. God wants us to use kind words. In Proverbs 31 and 10 tells of the virtuous woman.
Yeah.
And that scripture says, in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Yes.
It doesn't say that she just speaks kind words. It's the law of kindness. We want to have the law of kindness.
Amen.
Everywhere, even when the child is getting on your last nerve, we still need to have the law of kindness as we deal with them, talk to them, as we work with them.
That's so true.
And so we want to be careful with our words. It's something, sometime we can just pray, come to church and we're praising God and we're talking how, about the wonders of God, and then go and talk down on somebody else. Talk about them. They are whatever. They might be those things you think they are, but it should not come out of our mouth. We should be careful what we say about other people.
Yes.
It will damage them, and it will affect their other people. Hearing you talk about somebody will be affected by what you say. Maybe they had confidence in them. Maybe they were okay with them.
Right.
But what you said spoiled it.
Yes.
It tainted their feeling toward the other person. So as people of God, we can be examples in this world of how to talk about people. If you can't say anything good, don't say it.
That's right.
It's better not to say it if you can't find anything good.
Right.
You all remember that little funny story, Brother Lewis Williams told years ago? Y'all might not, but I remember. You know, I'm old school. But he was telling about there was a man in town that used to wouldn't say anything about bad about anything.
Right.
Well, finally, some notorious man died, and they went to the funeral. And so this man, everybody's looking, I wonder what good he can find in him, right?
Right.
He said he sure had some pretty teeth. If he didn't have nothing good about him, he had some pretty teeth. And so, if you can't find anything good to say about somebody, then leave it alone.
Amen.
Don't say it. I believe that God could help you find something good to say about them, though. All right, let's move on. Now, we want to make sure that our words are not offensive. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 21. We don't want to offend. There's a scripture that says, a brother offended is harder to win than a fenced city or something like that.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
That verse is the door is 19.
19, okay.
A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. Mm-hmm.
So we want to not say anything that offends people.
Mm-hmm.
That might seem impossible, but I think that with God's help, we can do that.
Amen.
And I believe He wants to do that. You know, sometimes there's people that have had this attitude, you know, that they need to have some good hard knocks. Or they might say, you know, in other words, we need to maybe a little roughness to kind of help them out. But you know, that's not God's way.
Amen.
Gentleness and kindness is God's way.
Amen.
We want to have the show Christ in our lives through the words that we say.
Yeah.
We want to heal. We want our words to heal. Let's go to Colossians 4 and 6.
The 21st, did you still want that one?
Yes, please.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Yes.
Amen. See, we can give life to people.
Yes.
By what we say. I just love God's way.
Yes.
God's way is best. Though human wisdom, a fair way may seem to show.
Yes.
Sometimes we want to give some people some punishment, so to speak, and tell them off. But that's not God's way.
Not.
God's ways, gentleness, and kindness.
Yes.
Colossians 4:6.
Let your
speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Yes.
Let your speech be always with grace. You know, somebody might be running you down. But when we respond, let's respond with grace.
Yeah.
Seasoned with salt,
yeah,
that we may know how to answer every man. Oh, I hope that I can encourage you to be careful in the words you say and make sure that the words we say are ordered by the Lord. I want to say, go into one area that we need to be careful. I'm trying to find, I have a scripture. It's, hold on. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 22. This is an area that we need to be careful of, and that's called guile. That's called deceit. Sometimes when people tell you things, they might tell you to give you one impression of something when it's another. But Jesus wasn't like that. In this scripture, we have Jesus' example. It says, somebody get that, 1 Peter, verse chapter 2 and verse 21.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Guile. Gal is shrewdness, is skilled in deception, craftiness, cunning, foxiness, slyness. So we don't want to do that. Other words, if I say that, you know, sometimes when someone might come to you and say, can you give me $50?
Correct.
You might have $50, but you have a bill to pay. Some people will say, I don't have $50. That's deceitful.
Yes.
We can tell the truth.
Yes.
I don't have it to spare.
Amen.
We can tell it. Let's not say one thing and it's another.
Yes.
To give an impression of something that is not. Let's be honest in all our dealings and all the words we say. Psalms 34 and 13.
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Be careful.
Yep.
You know, we have to be so careful when it comes to our income tax situations, and we have to tell things just like it is.
True.
Yep.
It's they sometimes, we're not careful, they'll give us loopholes. And we want to make sure that the ones that are legally for us are legal. We're doing it legal, but then we're also not being deceptive.
Yeah.
So we need to pray and ask God to show us just how to deal with this. In a way, yes, I might have some little loopholes, but is it portraying the wrong thing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 12.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers
in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Yes, we want to be an example. We don't want to leave something where someone will not only be disappointed with us, but sometimes we can lead people the wrong way in the way we carry ourselves with the kind of words that we speak. We want to be careful, it says, yeah. In words. In our words, we want to be an example.
Yeah.
Now I have a few more scriptures, and I want us to realize how important this message is, because sometimes it seems like, oh, I don't need that. John 8:3-7. Well, actually, I'm going to show you how Jesus handled words, and then we'll talk about that. Do you remember that Jesus was the Pharisees and the scribes? They tried to trip him up.
Yeah.
They would ask him questions just to try to trip him up.
Right.
But do you know, he didn't always answer. Not right away. And this is the scripture I want us to look at, John 8:3-7. If you feel like someone is trying to pull you into a conversation you don't need to be pulled into, sometimes it's just good to close our mouth.
Yes.
Don't answer.
Yes.
Did someone get that?
8:3.
Mm-hmm.
And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery.
That's it.
And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?
Stop just a minute. They wanted an answer from him, didn't they?
Yes.
But they were trying to trip him up.
Yes.
Keep on.
This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not.
Okay, stop. Did he answer them right away?
No.
Sometimes if we don't know how to answer a question, or like I said, somebody trying to pull you into a conversation that's not wise for you to be into, it's better to stop and not say anything until the Lord gives you something to say. So what did he do?
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.
Look at the kind of answer he gave them. He put it all back on them. He didn't even say, I think this, or I think that. He just said, who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, they got out of there.
Yeah.
One by one, I can imagine them tipping out, right? Tipping out of there. Because all of them had sinned.
Yes.
None of them were able to cast a stone because they weren't right. And it put the fear of God on their hearts.
Yes.
Don't you know God can give us words that put the fear of God in a situation that looks like we can't do anything, can't make it any better? But if we wait on the Lord and we let him give us our word, we can add salt to the situation. We can add seasoning to the situation. And I think sometimes it won't hurt us to just stop and write on the ground before making a rash answer.
Yeah.
And entering in a situation we shouldn't. So now let's think about why is it so important? In one, I don't know where I wrote this scripture, But he says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned.
Yes.
That's why. That's why our words are so important. We're going to stand before God for every, the scripture says, every idle word that a man shall speak, shall he give account in the judgment. So that's why we need to be careful of our words, is we're going to give account of those words. And I sure personally don't want to say any words that have to come up against me, condemn me. So let's be encouraged to be careful with our words. Be careful with them, because God is going to judge us. He's ultimately, he is the ultimate judge that's going to judge all the words that we say.
Yes.
Not only are those words affecting other people, us and other people around us, but God Almighty is going to weigh our words in the judgment.
Yes.
And we want to be, we don't want to come up short. We don't want to be weighed and found wanting. Pray for me.
Sister Doris, that last scripture was Matthew 12, verse 37.
Could you read it, please?
Give me one moment, go back. Matthew 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.